All right, here we go. 49ers Rams week in full swing. San Francisco was back out at practice today. So was Talanoa Hufanga. I'll show you a little video of Hufanga in a little bit. He's been out at practice for a couple weeks now, but this was a full participation report today for Talanoa. That is the first time since the ACL tear last November against Tampa Bay. So we expect Talanoa to be back in the lineup. Right now, I'm going to talk about three issues the 49ers would like to fix before they play the Rams. And if you think the 49ers are in a troublesome spot, they're coming off a loss. Obviously, I always advise you to not have too big of a knee-jerk reaction to any one moment in the NFL. But if you still think the 49ers are in some kind of bind right now, just wait until you see the situation the Rams are in. An injury list that is too long for Sean McVay to be confident that he could bring everybody back off IR if he were to put guys on IR, because he only have a certain amount of return to play designations, 8 on the season. I think it's 6 plus 2, actually. So anyway, still the injury list is very uncomfortably outnumbering the return to play spots for Sean McVay. They've got that problem. They've got the problem of an 0-2 record. Kyle Shanahan said today that if you're 0-2 in the NFL, fire alarms start to go off inside the building, not actual fire alarms, unless it's the 49ers hotel ahead of the Super Bowl. But no, there's just an apocalyptic feel in the building. And right now the Rams, especially the way they lost 41-10 to Arizona, they're going to be desperate entering this game against the 49ers. That means San Francisco has to fix its own issues heading into this game. And I'm going to break this down into those three. First off, 49ers need to find a way to get some more pressure from their interior defensive line. They're paying Javon Hargrave a lot of money, and he's only got 3 pressures so far this year. I know he was dealing with the hamstring throughout a lot of the 2023 season. I think he's healthier now, and I think he needs the show. And I think he's healthy because I saw a play in the second half against the Minnesota Vikings where Javon Hargrave just bolted into the backfield. I mean, I saw a real, real explosion. And he's a 300-pound guy, so getting real explosion requires hamstring health. And when I saw that explosion against the Minnesota Vikings, I said, okay, Javon's healthy. Javon just has to work into the flow. And the 49ers need him to against the Rams, because that offensive line for the Rams is absolutely depleted. First, let's look at the quarterback matchup in this game so I could provide some context for the interior pressure that the 49ers need to bring. Darnold was last week, Sam Darnold. He's number 8 here in adjusted EPA. Number 7 is Brock Purdy. Number 6 is Matthew Stafford. But this is adjusted EPA, expected points added. We've got raw EPA and adjusted EPA. Adjusted EPA will account for pass protection or lack thereof, receiver drops, dropped interceptions, luck on interceptions, luck on interceptable passes, fumble recoveries, and interception returns, and it gives credit for expected yards after the catch only. So look where Matthew Stafford is in terms of raw EPA. He's in the negatives, negative 0.03. The next quarterback in the negatives is the number 15 ranked quarterback down here, Justin Herbert. He's negative 0.01. To find a quarterback with a score in the raw EPA as low as Matthew Stafford's, you have to go to number 18 in Kirk Cousins. So how is Matthew Stafford number 6 despite this negative 0.03 raw EPA score? Well, his adjusted score is massively different. The difference is 0.27. So obviously, the formula sees that the Rams are not helping Matthew Stafford out. And the formula, which counts pass protection, drops, dropped interceptions, all that stuff, gives Matthew Stafford a huge adjustment. And I could illustrate why they're giving him such a huge adjustment if we look at their pass protection. I showed you this yesterday. The Rams' pass protection is unfathomably bad on this graph. Everybody's clustered here in the middle. I get it, a couple good outliers, but there's only one truly bad outlier, and it's the Rams way over here. So their pass protection is suffering in large part because the offensive line is truly depleted. Steve Avila, an interior offensive lineman, is on injured reserve. Jonah Jackson, an interior offensive lineman, is on injured reserve. Joe Noteboom has been a fixture on this Rams offensive line for years, is also hurt, also not available to play in this game. So the injuries up front have just mounted and mounted and mounted to the point where especially that interior for the Rams is beleaguered. And that's made what Matthew Stafford has done at -0.03 EPA per play actually decently impressive. You know, you would expect with the interior pressure that's coming in for the Rams right now through the floodgates there at left guard, center, right guard, you'd expect with how bad it is for Matthew Stafford to be completely off the charts in a bad way. But he's actually kept it afloat decently well, given how bad things are for the Rams. So the 49ers need to make sure that that does not continue. They have horses on the inside that could get after the quarterback, especially Javon Hargrave. But three pressures throughout the first two games is not enough. Needs to be more in this game. Preferably turn some into sacks if you're Javon Hargrave. I think there should be opportunities because this, to me, is shocking, and maybe the Rams are going to play it a little bit differently. But this is the early down pass rate so far this year. Look which team has passed more on early downs than any other team by far. The Rams. They're in between 65 and 70% up here. They're passing more than any other team, despite the fact that their offensive line has been completely depleted and the pass protection has been so abysmal. So the Rams are intent on passing on early downs. The 49ers, they're down here. They're still running a lot on early downs, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. This just to me means that the 49ers are going to see pass rushing opportunities on the inside. So you've got to take advantage of the fact that the Rams are beleaguered on the interior. Then you have to make sure that rush and coverage are tied together, because I think that that was an issue for the 49ers. Probably has been an issue throughout both of the first two games. Rush and coverage didn't tie together consistently last year under Steve Wilks, and the 49ers had a rather poor third down defense. They've been poor on third down throughout two games so far this year, including that Jets game that they won. But last week, it was 7 of 12 on third down for Sam Darnold and the Vikings. So the 49ers have to tie the rush and coverage together. They have to avoid the massive play. They gave one up last week. Well, Talanoa Hufanga is coming back. Here's the promised video. That's Hufanga back out at 49ers practice. Now, this is him back out there as a full participant for the first time since that ACL tear. I would expect Talanoa to start if he's going to be back for the 49ers. And that probably means that George Odom is going to head to the bench and obviously stay as the 49ers' special teams ace. But Hufanga in there alongside Jair Brown is going to be counted on to make sure the 49ers are in the right alignment and reading the right keys all the time. That's something that didn't happen on the 97-yard touchdown last week for Justin Jefferson. So the coverage alignments on the back end have to be there because Matt Stafford does have a quick release and he has the ability to beat you off platform. He's fallen away or something, you know, like Matt Stafford has a lot of highlight reel throws where the pressure is on him. So getting pressure helps, but getting pressure is not everything against Matthew Stafford, who again is going to be throwing the ball quite a bit for the Rams. You can expect that. I would think that possibly they're going to try to run a little bit more with how bad this pass protection has been, but tendencies don't completely die overnight. And this tendency of the early down pass rate for the Rams has been really staggering so far this season. So the pass rush ops should be there. And that means the 49ers need that interior pressure. And then they need to fix the coverage alignments. And I think Talanoa Hufanga on the back end, he's a communicator. He's a talker. He's somebody who has gotten the 49ers defense into the right positioning for years at this point. I think that's one of his strengths. He's playing now back where he played his college ball, went to USC. So 49ers going to be back in that LA area. And Talanoa Hufanga will be able to exhibit the same things that made the 49ers like him in the draft and then turned him into an all-pro. He'll be able to exhibit the communication skills and the instincts that I think have really been a plus for the 49ers defense. I mean, this is a guy that was an all-pro just a couple years ago. Flipping this around to the offensive side of the ball, 49ers need to increase precision in the red zone despite the decrease of talent that is going to be available for Brock Purdy to throw to. No Deebo Samuel, no Christian McCaffrey. Both of those guys are really important red zone pieces. 49ers have not been converting red zone opportunities into touchdowns enough, but they're going to have to figure out a way to do that. Now, the Rams last year, and it hadn't happened yet this year, we'll see where they are. The Rams also have a lot of defensive injuries, but they were the best red zone defense in the league last year. They have no more Aaron Donald, and again, a lot of guys are hurt. But something here is going to have to give. And I know, again, the Rams are a different defense, so I don't want to make it sound like there's some juggernaut on that side of the ball. But the 49ers, although they've gained yardage, Brock Purdy actually leads the NFL with 550 passing yards through two games. The 49ers have not been good at just punching the ball in. Christian McCaffrey's precision, Christian McCaffrey's gravity, the lack of that, I think hurts the 49ers. Deebo Samuel scored a touchdown in week one, where the 49ers handed the football off to him. So I think his versatility helps San Francisco in the red zone. They're not going to have that, so they're going to have to deal with multiple losses. But a lot of the onus comes on Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan and the cohesion between the quarterback and the play caller, the QB play caller duo when the red zone, where everything will condense. Now, the 49ers need to block better. That's really clear to me when I watched the tape. And I was going back through some of my tweets on Sunday. One thing that I noticed in the first half was that Jake Brendel was getting pushed back by Harrison Phillips. So the interior of that offensive line has to be better. The pressure can't be in Brock Purdy's lap immediately, and it's going to help that Aaron Donald's not out there, but it can't be right in his lap when the 49ers are in the red zone, because it's tougher to find a window in the red zone. The back line of the end zone is an extra defender. It's like that 12th and 13th defender in the back. It creates a situation where a quarterback's going to need maybe at least a few more split seconds to find that throwing window to hit somebody for the touchdown. And if Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey are not part of the 49ers route tree, then Brock Purdy, it definitely needs a little bit more time. You got to give guys like Brandon Ayuk, guys like Juwan Jennings, guys like Jordan Mason potentially coming out of the backfield. There does have to be ample time for Purdy to operate so the 49ers can execute with more precision in the red zone, because that certainly has been missing. All right, let's move this to a 49ers Q&A. Those are the three things that San Francisco must fix entering this game against the Rams. By the way, as the Rams defense prepares for Brock Purdy, this is going to be the guy who acts like Brock Purdy this week. Who is acting like Brock Purdy this week? That is Brock Purdy, right? No, it's actually Jimmy Garoppolo. But as the Rams backup quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo is running the scout team, and the scout team is providing looks for the Rams defense of the 49ers first team offense. So Jimmy Garoppolo, after helping mentor Brock Purdy in 2022, is now acting like Brock Purdy at practice for the Rams. Thought that was a cool twist for this week. Anyway, we're on to the Q&A. Let's go. Tanner says the 49ers should run the ball. Well, I'm sure they'll run the ball some. They ran the ball a lot last week, too. They have to keep it balanced. It doesn't matter who you're playing. The team could be as injured as hell, but you're not. You're almost, I can't say always, because we have seen the 49ers run almost exclusively in an NFC championship game against the Packers and still go for over 6 yards a carry. But in the NFL, typically, even the worst team, the worst defense, is going to be able to load up against the run game and stop it if that's all that's coming. So you're going to have to be balanced. The 49ers have, I think, been balanced over the first 2 weeks. It's more about execution at the margins than it is about general offensive balance for San Francisco. 28 carries in week one and then 20 in week two for Jordan Mason. Yes, I believe only one true starter for the Rams along the offensive line on Sunday. How's Dre Greenlaw doing? I'm glad that you asked, because I literally asked Dre how he was doing as he was shooting hoops today in the 49ers locker room. They got a basketball hoop in the locker room, and he said he's doing better. Looking strong, both legs, the calf muscles the same size on both legs. I'm not like joking about that. That's sometimes when a guy has an Achilles injury and you get your first look at him, you're like, oh boy, he still has more rehab to do. One leg has to catch up to the other. But in the case of Dre Greenlaw, everything seems balanced. Shooting hoops in the locker room, playing catch on the field. Every time I see Dre playing catch with Fred Warner on the field, I am reminded that he's a lefty. He throws left-handed. I asked him today as he was shooting the hoops in the locker room if he played any quarterback over the course of his young football career. And actually, he was a QB up through eighth grade. So Dre Greenlaw emulating Steve Young there with the left-handed throws, but it does seem that he is doing better. I don't think there's a firm public timeline on that yet. Nigel says, I don't think it's time to hit the panic button when the 49ers lost three in a row last season. Exactly. And it also wasn't time to hit the panic button after they lost three last season. It was time to hit the bye week button. They needed to circle the wagons and regroup, and that they did. They came out against Jacksonville and just dominated. But this is the NFL. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And if you think that any team is going to go through this without a single loss, then I definitely have a bridge to sell you. The overreactions to week two have been excessive. Will Jacob Cowing, the rookie, get any more time this week? Well, I know that he's going to still be on punt return. There was some speculation of whether or not Jacob Cowing would cede to Trent Taylor as a practice squad call-up. And maybe they'll still call Trent Taylor up because Cowing did muff the punt against the Vikings. But Shanahan said that they're very confident in Cowing based on his full body of work in practice and on his other punt returns. He muffed one against the Vikings. The 49ers want to keep it that way, and they're not going to move off of Cowing just because of that. Now, you are down Deebo Samuel on top of Christian McCaffrey, so does that mean somebody like Jacob Cowing gets some more action? Maybe on an end around. I think that's a great play for Jacob Cowing and his speed. But you've got to slowly integrate these guys into the offense. They have to earn trust with Kyle Shanahan. That's not an easy thing to do. There's a lot going on for rookies, especially in terms of blocking and physical style play. So I think for somebody like Jacob Cowing, we probably won't see him as a featured part of the offense until after his rookie year. But, you know, if you're the 49ers, you would hope that he can earn a role, even if it's as a gadget weapon, over the course of this 2024 season. Who will back up Mason? Well, right now, Isaac Grendo got the first carry when Mason needed a breather against the Minnesota Vikings, but it wasn't a great carry. Kyle Shanahan was asked about it today. He's like, well, should he have been more patient? Should Grendo have stretched it a bit further to the left and then ran behind Trent Williams? And Shanahan said, yeah, technically, but there wasn't much room there anyway. It would have, instead of no gain, would have been 1 to 3 yards. Still, 1 to 3 is better than no gain. Grendo's got to develop the instincts that have eluded him so far, I think, at least over a large course of carries. He only started one game in college despite having elite athleticism. So it's about knowing where the hole is, feeling the blocks up front. That's going to be big for Isaac Grendo. If they don't feel that he's ready quite yet in case Jordan Mason goes down and they need a handful of carries from somebody else, because obviously Deebo Samuel's not going to be available on Sunday, that's where Patrick Taylor Jr. is on this roster. Former Packer, good pass protector, gives you a little bit of a higher floor at that running back position, at least for a backup spot. Best burrito in the Bay Area is where I'm going to right after I finish this show in a few minutes. Been out of town for a bit. I'm going to go to Taqueria Cancun, 19th and Mission. I would say that's the best burrito in the world. We can argue about it later. Do I drive or fly to LA? I will be flying to LA. Do I talk to Brandon Staley? Yep, I've talked to him only a couple times, though. Not as many times as some of the coaches that have been with the 49ers for a little longer. Staley works mainly with the defensive backs. And I believe he's upstairs during games. So I've always looked like at him like a whiteboard guy. That's what I've said. He's doing a lot of scheming for the 49ers. The DBs, I think D'Amara Lenore was saying he was extremely smart. Might have even called him a genius. He's obviously been a good coordinator before. He was the coordinator of the Rams back in 2020 when they were the number one defense in the entire league. Smash that like button. Damn right. Why don't you guys do that? Will Hufanga improve the communication on the secondary? Well, considering that's his strong suit, I would hope so. They were running George Odom, who's a backup, who they, you know, had to go through a crash course in training camp to take over that starting safety position. They started to mix Malik Mustafa, the rookie, in there. And maybe Talano Hufanga will have an abbreviated workload as well. Maybe they continue to work Malik Mustafa into the mix. I quickly talked with Renardo Green today because he got a couple snaps for the 49ers at dimeback when the 49ers were running a dime package. I asked him how was it out there at his first NFL action, and he said it was just like practice, which I mentioned earlier. I think that's a good sign. That means that they're running these practices in a way that prepares these players to actually perform in a game. They definitely do not have better burritos in LA than San Francisco. They might have better tacos, but San Francisco has perfected the burrito to an art form. I've tried places in LA that people tell me are better than San Francisco. I have friends in LA, locals, they'll take me to a spot, but the Mission style burrito in San Francisco, perfected there in the Mission District, started out in the Central Valley. I've got the whole history behind that. But if we're going to talk burritos, LA versus San Francisco, and you know, maybe it's a good week to do that. They're definitely superior in San Francisco, and I will die on that hill. We got a food list. This is awesome from Proper 49er. La Sandwich, North Beach, very good. Healdsburg Bagel Company. Yes, that was a long time ago that we were in Healdsburg, though. Sam's, of course, for burgers. I heard today's International Cheeseburger Day. I'll be getting a burrito, so I'll be breaking that rule. Sam's East, great stuff as well. Truly Mediterranean, shout out to them as well if we're going to be talking about some of that Mediterranean food. Jumpstart Coffee. Jumpstart Coffee is at 24th and Guerrero, not 19th and Mission, but Taqueria Cancun, 19th and Mission, and then M Stop for sandwiches. Yep, you got a nice list there. I've been to way more places, but that's a good starter list. That's for sure. Oh, he's got more. Swenson's for Turkish coffee ice cream. The restaurants on Hyde Street. Yeah, Proper 49er is a good viewer. I love that. We've got somebody saying the best burrito in the Bay Area is in San Leandro. Not bad. All right, any more questions about 49ers Rams before I go eat? Do I think the 49ers will play down to the level of the Rams given all the injuries on offense? Well, the 49ers are coming off a loss too. Nick Bosa talked about it today. He said that when a team with a lot of veterans that has a high standard like the 49ers loses, there's a lot of pressure in the building to get stuff right. In each position meeting, at each practice, I think the Rams are going to be in desperation mode, 0-2, a lot of injuries, a lot of young guys are going to be trying to prove themselves. But the 49ers overall are healthier, minus a couple star players that are missing, but they should be in a mode to really get after it this week. So, and it's also a full week of rest for the 49ers versus last week where it was a shorter week. So I don't think the 49ers are going to play down to the Rams. I think coming off a loss, it's a good time to play up to the challenge if you're San Francisco. Score prediction doesn't come till the day before the game. That's going to come from LA, maybe with a burrito in LA. We'll see. We're going to have some fun down in LA this week, though. So that's when the score prediction comes. That's the custom for the week. We're going to, tomorrow morning, you could tune into the live. We're going to talk probably 49ers offense against the Rams defense or vice versa. After Thursday night football, which is Jets Patriots, we're going to do a big NFL blitz, which is going to be combined with 49ers defense against Rams offense or vice versa. Then will the 49ers beat the Rams? That is coming on Friday. Flight down to LA, and of course on Saturday, we'll give you the 49ers-Rams prediction. A lot coming this week. So those are the three things the 49ers should fix before they head down to SoFi, which I still predict will be about 80% 49ers fans. Time for Talkeria Cancun. We'll talk to you soon.